fighting for America.
Mr. President, in 2010, you called the results of the midterm election shellacking. What do you call this?
Obviously, Republicans had a good night.
Fighting for Idaho.
The president continues to act on his own. He is going to poison the well. When you play with matches, you take the risk of burning yourself. And he's going to burn himself if he continues to get down this path.
Fighting for you.
Why isn't our government doing something about this? I'll be the first one to say it. President Obama does not care about postpartum Taylor Swift disorder.
I'm pretty sure that's why the Democrats lost the Senate.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning, Kay Miller with you, 580 KIDO. Phone numbers, the phones aren't working today, but we'll continue on. I don't know if it's the NSA. I don't know if it's Alex Jones. I just don't know. But at least we're going to be honest enough with you on that. And we're not going to gripe about the phones, but I like to give you full disclosure here. And Tom Munns is investigating it. Thank you, Greg Pruitt, for this great award from the Idaho Second Amendment Alliance. As I've said before, if you missed it last hour, they gave us an award for our continued support. But it's people like Greg Pruitt and Tony and you that go out there, instead of staying at home, instead of griping, instead of watching sports, you make a difference. And that's what we're here for. That is our mission, to be your air support, literally. Also, coming up tomorrow, we're going to be at Boise High. Thank you, CapEd Credit Union, for making that happen, promoting our school, securing our future. And Monday, we get rolling in Miller's Mission. Join me for the Treasure Valley Turkey Challenge. We'll be at the Walmart on Garrity and Franklin, asking you to give a turkey, don't be a turkey. Joining us now is Luke Kilcup, president of the Idaho College Republicans. Good morning, sir.
Morning, Kevin. How are you?
I'm all right. Do I sound like I look, or do I look like I sound?
Sound a little better.
I was going to say, people always get this impression of me, and here you have the, you know, I've got the nutty professor look. In honor of you going to college, I thought I would just give you this university look here this morning. So.
Well, I can tell you're looking a lot better than most of my professors, that's for sure. Speaking a little more sense, at least.
There we go. An A zinger there for you this morning. Let's talk a little bit about how old you are and why you're involved in politics. Talk a little bit about that, please.
Okay. Well, I'm a 20-year-old here at Boise State. Mm-hmm. And I guess I got involved in politics about 2 years ago. I had a pretty liberal philosophy teacher my freshman year of college. And there wasn't really an avenue for college students, at least at North Idaho College up in Coeur d'Alene, to express themselves. And so we started a club kind of just so students had a voice and a group they could come to and talk about how they can combat the liberal bias on campus. And then we kind of just moved that down to Boise State and around the state so that students can, you know, fight back against that liberal professor or stop getting beaten up on by the five or six liberal students who think that they know everything that they're, you know, talking about when that's not true. And so that's one of the biggest reasons for me personally. I've just always believed that, you know, limiting government, promoting small business, that's the way that we're going to have a future, especially as millennial generation students. It's not all about, you know, gay marriage and social issues. That's not going to save the future. It's going to be, you know, strong economic policy and
Strong economic policy. You're doing this at 20?
Well, I am an economics major, if that means anything. But.
All right. Well, I'm going to ask you about the economy because certainly we need some expertise. What's it like for you, and we'll get into the millennials as well, but for you as a young man, you go to college, your family's very proud of you, you go in, you have your core beliefs, and then you have someone who has achieved an elevated status in education, espouse their political views. They're in contrast to yours, and then you have, you know, the progressive insurgents smacking you as well.
Well, when it comes to, you know, moving out of college and actually having to get a job afterwards, it's, you know, it's a little terrifying. But if you take the right steps and you actually apply yourself, not just, you know, go to class and come back and do your homework, but you actually go out and get an internship, get a job while you're in college, and set yourself up, then, you know, you're going to be in good shape. But
I mean, when you're in the classroom and the comments go on, I can remember doing that, and I can remember my generation not being as empowered as yours because it's so big, and you guys are changing our way of thinking as opposed to the other way around. But What's that like, you know, out of high school, all of a sudden, you got this person, professor, doctor, you have respect for, philosophy, and all of a sudden they're saying the lib way is the way to go. And then you disagree and you go back and forth. That can be intimidating for some folks.
Oh, it's terrifying the first time you hear it. You know, they've had 15 years of schooling, and I'm in my first year of college. It's not something that a lot of kids are prepared for. But I respect the teachers when it comes to what they, you know, if you've studied economics or if you studied, you know, jazz or philosophy. But when it comes to politics, I'm allowed to have my own view, and you teaching that in the classroom is disrespectful and inappropriate. And that's something that we're kind of starting to bring up. I had a jazz teacher this year who started talking politics first day of class, and I started talking about the governor and lieutenant governor, and that's inappropriate. And I, you know, stood up and called him out on it very first day of class. It was uncomfortable, but it's something that has to be done, or, you know, they think that's a fact.
How'd you do in the class?
So far, I'm doing all right.
Right?
You know? Yeah, but we'll see how we finish up here with the semester.
Exactly. So you corrected the instructor. What did you say to him?
Well, you know, he was just making some snide comments about, well, if you live in Idaho, then the governor will, you know, if you don't own a gun, then he'll come to your house and, you know, and it's just ridiculous. I mean, just
right.
Blabbing on about Second Amendment rights and not being able to be gay in Idaho. And I stood
right.
up and I said, none of this is true. All the governor does is protect the Constitution. This is your opinion, and this isn't a political class. And sat back down, and he kind of said, don't have any outbursts in class, and we continued on. But, you know, it drew a lot of attention from other students, and we gained a few members to College Republicans because of it.
All right. At 580KIDO, we continue on here. Let's talk a little bit about the people in your generation, the older cohort, actually helped elect Obama.
And I agree with you. I think it was we lost by 6 million votes in 2008, or actually in 2012, to Obama, which is terrifying. I mean, the percentages were way off.
Right.
And across the nation, especially, we have the College Republican National Committee with 51 federations, similar to what we have here in Idaho. And they actually launched a $2 million field program, putting 30 representatives all over the nation in, you know, Arkansas, Kentucky,
and this
Iowa.
Is while you're actually going to school.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And working and doing everything else.
Yeah, and this, you know, there's 51 other kids like me, or if not better, and then 6 or 7 back in D.C. that are just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, the fact that they're going to law school, and then still, you know, working a job that doesn't pay 40 hours a week, it shows the commitment that's needed.
Right.
So, but we've... The youth turnout wasn't really anything surprising. We haven't seen any results here in Idaho yet, but across the nation, I think it was 19 or 20% or something like that. But you saw Republicans gain in the youth vote. We may not have won in every state, but we won in Alaska. We won in, you know, the heart of New Mexico. You look at a lot of important states like that, and we saw the youth vote either increase by twofold for Republicans, or we'd actually win.
What do you make of the millennial generation? Is it a liberal generation?
I don't think it's a liberal generation. I think it's a generation that crosses both parties.
Right.
You have, you know, the liberal side of folks. They're, you know, okay, if I don't believe in abortion and I don't, or I believe in abortion and I believe in gay marriage. But then when it comes to economic policy or wanting to get a job, everybody wants a job out of college and they realize that the Republican Party is the way to go. So I think it's kind of an interesting when it comes to politics. I don't think you can label them as liberals. I think you can label them as misinformed. And, you know, they won big on college campuses because Obama came in promising change in every single spectrum but didn't deliver in any of them. And so you're seeing that with voting trends, you know, since 2008. But I wouldn't necessarily say liberal. I'd just say misinformed.
Well, there are a lot of them, but are you surprised with the tenacity when someone disagrees with you, you know, you're a digital native, the old people like me are still trying to figure out, you know, the difference between Facebook, Tumblr, and Instagram. And yet you have people that may disagree with you that not only will attack you verbally, that will attack you on social media that people can see throughout the world, not just here in Idaho.
Well, and I wouldn't, you know, count yourself out. You're pretty savvy. I've seen on Facebook and Twitter there.
And by the way, we tweeted you and tweeted you again just now.
I did see that. well, no, I think it's that brings a whole nother a whole another issue into light. I mean, you have people attacking. We'll post something on, you know, Facebook for College Republicans, and we're on Facebook, Twitter. We have a website. And we'll have people come out of nowhere. We've never met them before. They don't have a college student. They don't have a kid in college. And they'll come out and talk about how, you know, we had a gentleman say how, oh, you know, if there's a black man that's president, I'm going to go talk with my parents and just complain. And if they tell me not to like it, then I will. And it's just, and they just accuse us of all these things that are so, so ridiculous that we just, you know that there's something else going on and that they, you know, they just love to hate people. And,
right.
And, you know, they just, it's, it gives them an easy way to do that.
How do you view, how does your generation, whether it's political, whether it's social, view the traditional forms of media, radio and television? Are those your primary methods, or do you look at something else as far as getting your news, your information?
Well, I'd say radio in the morning. I mean, whenever I'm driving somewhere, radio's going. I wouldn't say necessarily the prime way anymore. Not, you know, I'm a just well, dangerous. It's a dangerous place to say that. But,
no, that's okay. Just as long as you give us the patronizing. But I listen to you, Kevin, in the morning.
I do listen to you every morning.
Well,
there we go.
Well, thank you.
TV, it's, you know, I think internet is by far and away the
that's how you guys are wired, right?
Oh, completely.
Right.
I mean, if you want to find something, people necessarily don't know anything about, you know, the big thing is Bin Laden's killer or Ebola, but they go online, they type in Ebola, they read the first article, and they're a professional. All of a sudden, they know everything about Ebola, and
right.
they know how to diagnose it. So that's, I'd say, for the millennial generation, that's the number one way of doing it.
What is the most misunderstood aspect of the millennials by the baby boomers, the World War IIers, the Gen Xers?
Well, I'd say not all of us are lazy. Not all of us watch Netflix every day, all day. And, you know, there are a lot of hard workers in the millennial generation and kids that want to get out there, whether they're liberal or conservative, they want to change the world. It's just a lot of them don't stop and learn and don't stop and listen to the older generations.
Who is your political hero?
Oh, man, my political hero. Well, can't really nail it down to one. If I had to talk about three, of course, Ronald Reagan.
You've watched him through the YouTube, right?
I've watched him through the YouTube pretty much every speech he's ever given. Read a lot of books on him.
Sure.
So I worked for Senator Jim Risch. We want to talk about a man that you want to look up to. He's the most conservative senator in the United States.
Right.
And then at a local level, Luke Malik up in Coeur d'Alene.
Mm-hmm.
He was the first person I ever worked for, and just to see his political talent and the way he was able to deal with people and care about the community, that was really inspiring.
That's Tea Party Bob's favorite guy.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. Well, if the phones were working, I'm sure we'd be getting a call.
We've gotten like five emails from him waiting to talk to you. So.
Over which one? I'm assuming the last.
Well, let's see. Accountability, this, that, and the other. Ask your guest, will he and his organization hold elected officials accountable? For instance, the current problem with the Wi-Fi contract, which has been null and void because the changes have been made after the fact, or the CECA settlement, which the governor claims not to have influenced. Is that really in the jurisdiction of the College Republicans?
You know, I wish it was, but unfortunately it really isn't. Our primary goal is to, first of all, get Republicans elected in the general election.
Right.
You know, get behind them. We organized lit drops and made phone calls in five major cities during the general election this year.
What was that like, making phone calls to people?
You know, five out of ten times they don't pick up. The other five, it's split between take me off your list, you beepity beepity, versus, oh, I'm already voting, thank you.
Right.
But, you know, it was a pretty good experience. A lot of people had never made phone calls before, so it was fun to see that. But, yeah. And then, but we don't have any, clearly any jurisdiction over that. We focus on issues at school. You know, Boise State's trying to implement some free speech zones, which the whole campus should be a free speech zone. And so we're going to hopefully jump on that, get some signs made.
How difficult is that for you, though, with respect, because your primary goal is to get an education, and you worry about backlash, whether it's Billy, the instructor, talking about his own political views, and you correct him, and that A becomes a B, and we're not accusing, but these things happen, and then all of a sudden, you're taking on the university that you one day hope to graduate from.
Oh, yeah. And, well, I would hope that would never happen. I respect all my teachers regardless of how, you know, I don't agree with their political philosophy. But, you know, it's something where if, you know, that ends up happening and then we make it an issue. We call the national committee. They answer the phone. We say, hey, this is happening. Can we get on Fox News about it?
Right.
Can we get on the Kevin Miller Show? Can we get on every single outlet possible?
I don't think you need to call the national committee for us.
No, I can just give you a call.
No, you just the phone doesn't work, so you just come over.
Okay, yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah, just come on over.
That sounds perfect.
Yeah, we're fairly informal. Yeah.
We'll call them out on it if we think it's discrimination. Luckily, we haven't had really an issue with that yet this year. But if that happens, then you're doing something right, because they're worried about not being able to influence kids in their classroom.
More coming up next at 580 KIDO. Let's get you to work safely and on time.
Morning, my friend.
Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning. It's good to visit with you. It's a great day.
Good morning, world. It's a brand new day.
Earning your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award. 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
It is 8:26. Finally, the phones are back. Luke Hilcup joining us, president of the College Republicans. Before we get to Linda and Emmett and, you know, serial emailer, Tea Party Bob, if he ever calls in, we do have the phones up at 580-KIDO, 580-5436. Luke, one thing about your generation that you're going to have to deal with is and previous generations as well, but yours, because you have such a large group, the largest age group ever in American history, even exceeding those of the baby boomers, is the student loan problem, that ticking time bomb. And unfortunately for your generation, we don't have the numerous employment opportunities that we've had before, because we've offshored jobs, we've done things. So it's going to be a bigger challenge to pay off that student debt. From your perspective, from the perspective of the millennials, how big of an issue is that?
Oh, I think it's a huge issue. It's one of the biggest issues that we're dealing with here in Idaho, as well as, you know, nationwide. There's a few different ways that, you know, personally, and I don't speak for everybody, but for myself, that I say, you know, you can deal with the situation. First of all, I don't think it's the government's job to pay back student loans. I think it's something where it's, you know, I've been lucky enough to where I've been able to work and help pay for my student loans. My family's been able to help. We've had to take a little bit of money out. It's about making it through it. But is the investment really worth what you're going to get after college? And sometimes yes and sometimes no. I think college is an unforgettable and great experience, but it's not for everybody. And I'm very blessed to be here. But, you know, whether or not that's trade schools or working right out of college or going to the Army, Navy, that is a better investment at this time, maybe not in 10 years. But at this time, then going to college for 4 years and racking up, you know, not so much here in Idaho, but $80,000 worth of debt at the U of I. And, I mean, that's ridiculous. It takes
scary.
Years to pay. Yeah, it's terrifying. And, you know, we look at college students who think $100 is a ton of money, and it is. But $80,000, that's terrifying to us. So.
Well, and to pay that back with interest and everything else, and you have people in their 60s that have paid off their homes but haven't paid off their student loans.
And I'm not looking forward to that, that's for sure.
Yeah. It's always a great career in radio. Linda, good morning. You're at 580 KIDO. Hello, Megan Kelly. How are you?
I am super fine, Mr. Miller. How are you?
Living the dream, baby.
Good. Luke, what do you think of the idea of...
Hello now?
An open enrollment in a gun safety course, gun safety class, for kids that are your kids, guys that are your age.
Well, I think, open enrollment, I think that's great. I mean, as many people as we can get out there trained on safely on guns, I mean, the safer they'll be. I mean, I think it's one of the rights that we're given and the rights that we should practice as Idahoans and Americans.
What do you have to say to somebody who comes up and tells you that... That's a hill of beans, and we shouldn't be regulated, and we should be able to do whatever we want. And let's face it, there are people who don't deserve to put their hands on guns. I know that one.
Well, and I'm sure there are those people. I wouldn't be the one to tell you who and who can't, of course.
No, I know.
But no, I'd say, you know, for people that want to regulate too much, you could say, well, here's the Second Amendment. Until that changes, you have a population here in Idaho who agrees with it, and that's how it's going to be. And for people that, you know, necessarily shouldn't be holding guns, I think there needs to be a process for that, but I'm not one to comment on that necessarily.
Okay, well, because I learned, my grandfather, God bless him, taught me to shoot when the summer I turned 12. And I was not allowed to put a live shot through that 22 rifle until I could take it apart, clean it all up, put it back together again. And once was not enough, but it was about 5 times before he would allow me to even aim it at a tin can, let alone pull the trigger.
Well, Linda, thank you for that. You have a good day.
Okay, Kevin. Thank you.
All right. Our great friend Linda from Emmett. Here he is, the tenacious Tea Party Bob at 580 KIDO.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you this morning?
Doing well. Thank you. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Aside from the phones, you know, when you can't say what you want to say, it gets a little annoying.
Well, then you email it.
Well, we did that.
You're not going to get the last word with him.
You don't think so, right?
I know.
You know, I've been in contact with the College Republicans and the YAL leaders for the last year or so. I haven't had an opportunity to meet with you, but I have met some with some of your colleagues, and I'm happy to see that millennials are getting an interest in government and getting involved, because we haven't had an awful lot of that in the past history. I know there have been organizations out there, but, you know, when I see the growth of the YAL and I see some things happening with College Republicans, that tells me that at least you are engaged, and you are going to be the largest group of people in the United States that are going to be voters. I only have one worry, and that is, are the millennials going to be influenced, and not just the millennials, but people like the College Republicans, YAL leaders, because College Republicans are on one side, YAL are on the libertarian-type side. Are you going to be influenced by the people that you work for and the people that you're doing things for in the elections? Are they going to actually be able to influence you so that we wind up with another, quote, group of cronies, unquote, instead of some actual free thinkers?
Well, I guess, of course, if you're working for somebody, you're going to be influenced by them. We have, you know, a bunch of people working, whether it's for Senator Crapo, Senator Risch, or just representatives all around the state. And so I'm sure they share ideology with that person, and it will only continue to, you know, be more so as they work for them longer. But I'd say no. What we try and do is, as a group, as a federation, especially during the primaries, which we know here in Idaho were pretty divisive, between whether you want to call it Tea Party and mainstream or Libertarian mainstream, however you want to get into it. What we did as College Republicans is we just pointed people. If somebody came to us and said, "Hey, I want to get involved on this campaign," then we'd say, "Here's their contact information." We were not as active because we're advocating a very big tent. But when it came to the general elections, we were behind Republicans, and that's why we're here. We're College Republicans elected to get Republicans elected, or to get Republicans elected here in Idaho and across the nation. When it comes to cronyism and the people that you're talking about, those aren't issues that we get into. And of course, if there's, you know, something that really catches our eye that we look at it and we see that's, you know, that's not something we agree with, that's not how politics should be practiced, then of course we're not going to root for that candidate or support that candidate by making phone calls and doing all that. But until we see that, then we're going to support Republicans until they, you know, until they win like they did overwhelmingly on the 4th.
So you actually go out and vet your candidates and look at their voting records, is that correct?
No, yes, sir. And we encourage people that actually work for those candidates to do the same.
Okay, you and I need to have a conversation one of these days.
What is this, Tea Party Bob conversation time?
Kevin Miller, I'll be down there bringing you food next week. Be nice to me.
You got a point. you should come join us at the Garrity Walmart.
There we go.
After 9 o'clock, the show gets – that's when the real show starts.
That's true. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, thank you, Tea Party Bob.
Take care. Have a good day.
All right. We appreciate it. Final thoughts?
No. I mean, really, it's been great. Thank you. Of course.
Well, we'll have to have you back. Definitely.
Yeah, of course. We're working on a few things over this next semester. We're going to start getting into high schools all around the state and getting them trained up so when they come to college, you know, they're not as surprised. But, yeah, we're just going to keep fighting the fight. We're opening up two new chapters at LCSC up in Lewiston and then down in Twin Falls at CSI. Very different, you know, parts of the state, liberal and conservative, and yet they, you know, there's still a bunch of interest in both. So we're excited, and, yeah, thank you very much.
Appreciate it, brother. Have a good one.
Yeah, same to you. Thank you.
You're listening to 580 KIDO.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Ever wonder what it's like to land on a comet? We actually have this sound here for you. There we have it, the Rosetta mission. No kidding. That's the sound that the Rosetta mission has picked up from the comet. With us now to explain, Simon Owen of Fox News Radio. Simon, good morning.
Morning, Kevin.
A historic day.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how far I can go as far as explaining goes, because it's pretty serious space stuff, this, but they are closing in on what could be a momentous moment for space exploration. No one's ever managed to land anything on a comet before, and so this would be a first. It's an unmanned space probe. It left Earth 10 years ago. It's traveled 4 billion miles since then, slingshotting around the Earth three times, once around Mars, all of that to gain the necessary speed to catch up with this comet, which is going through space at 41,000 miles an hour. So we're in what they call the touchdown window now. Any time now, the spacecraft could land. It may have done it already, because it takes 28 minutes for a signal to return to Earth. That's how far away we're talking, sort of 300 million miles.
Boy, 10 years, that's a real lapse in technology. Just think of our own personal technological advances that we've had. Couldn't imagine what it would be like comparing the technology now to then.
Exactly. I mean, and I suppose this is something that often comes up in space, but particularly with this one, this project was first imagined 20 years ago. So some of this technology is probably a couple of decades old, and yet so far it seems to be doing a job. There were two of these spacecraft together for 10 years flying through space. And then one of them, well, they both latched on to this comet and got into its orbit over the course of the summer. What's happened today is the smaller one has been detached from the larger one and is now doing this descent down to attempt to land on the comet. If it all goes wrong, the larger one will be able to do most of the research they were hoping to do. But really, I think they kind of want to get on with this now and grab a bit of history, get onto this comet, and if it works, 10 years to get there, well, we could see the first pictures from this spacecraft as soon as tonight, and that'll be the first pictures ever taken on the surface of a comet.
Simon, what about the work? What about the cost to make this happen, not only 10 years ago for the launch, but the continued upkeep and maintenance of this?
Yeah, it's a $1.6 billion project. I mean, I don't have anything to compare that to, I must admit, but that's clearly a sizable investment. But, you know, the various space agencies around the world seem to sort of take it in turns and have their day in the sun. And this is Europe's big project, which has been focusing on for quite some time now. And you know, the way they like to be, you know, keeping itself at the forefront of this sort of thing.
580KIDO as we continue on. Simon Owen talking about the Rosetta Project. What type of pride and what type of folks are comprised of this European effort?
Well, they have different, satellites. Well, satellite offices around the continent. But where this is coming out of today is a town called Darmstadt in Germany. So it will have scientists from all over the world. But I suspect there'll be a certain amount of German pride if they manage to get this up there. Because I think that a lot of their scientists are German, judging from speaking to them and hearing from them. Although it is it's a sort of continent-wide operation.
Well, Simon, we appreciate it. Anything else we should be looking out for? By the way, what's your reaction to that sound?
Yeah, I mean, I can't quite get my head around what that is, how it's supposed to be a comet. But, I mean, you take their word for it. It certainly sounds pretty scary, and I don't like the echo on it. I'm not sure. I'm pretty glad I'm not the one on board that craft, which is obviously an unmanned craft that's going up today.
Simon, thank you.
Thanks, Kevin.
Our great friend Simon Owen joining us from Fox News Radio. By the way, if you're just tuning in, and you want to say, well, they only talk politics with Kevin Miller. Here's something historic. No, they haven't redone that song, Popcorn. Remember that song, Popcorn? That's not being redone. Look, this is great that you have this Rosetta thing from the European Union, but you and I were raised in a world where America did these things. And yes, towards the last years of NASA, I can't believe we're saying this, it was go up to the space station, hang out, come back down. And we lost lives with Columbia, with Challenger. Nothing is guaranteed, dear friend. But the fact that we're not doing any of these unmanned programs, I mean, as a kid, I still admire these. Voyager 1 and Voyager 2, the Viking program. Now, if we need to inspire, we've got to reach for the stars. We've got to do it the right way. Could you imagine? And we'd probably mess this up, and not just us, but everybody, going back to the moon, what that would mean. And I've been critical of the space program, but think about, you know, we have, and this isn't a brain surgeon telling you this, but I mean, think about this. We have more computing in our phone than they did in those big rockets. And just giving us a goal. And I found with this program, there is so much blatant negativity going on. And yes, we have to cover it. And yes, we have to challenge it. Yes, we have to shed light on the darkness. But to have something good, like we've been talking about Winco and that they take care of their employees and their employees own the company, not just in name, but actually own the company. And after 20 or 30 years of investing from $10 million to a $3 billion company, just by cutting costs and just by giving you value, that's an inspirational story. And don't you think we need to be inspired? So when I hear this, I don't know if I'm inspired. I don't know if I'm inspired, but I mean, to put something on a comet, that's cool. Think about the George Clooney movie about space. Think about the Matthew McConaughey, Chris Nolan movie about space. We just lost those people in that Virgin Atlantic because they, you know, the space, you know, flying up to the edge of the atmosphere. It's a great challenge for us. And it's been this administration that's punted, that's cut at NASA, we have to cheer on the Europeans. I'm not a global guy. But anyway, we're cheering on the Europeans, so go Europe. Go Europe! Coming up next, the UN says no to drugs. We'll talk about it at 580 KIDO first. Time for traffic. Good morning.
Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
You know, I had a friend of mine, that was the theme to his program, that's why I'm familiar with that. That's popcorn intermixed with, believe it or not, the sound of the comet. Who else is going to do that for you in the morning? Oh, there's a reason why no one else does that for you? Kevin Miller with you here at 580 KIDO. Coming up tomorrow, we'll be at Capital High School. Thank you, CapEd Credit Union, promoting our schools, securing our future. Appreciate that. Number one. Number two, Miller's mission begins on Monday. And you know, just a note between us. And if you follow Kevin Miller Show or Kevin Miller or 580, whatever, we have 27 Facebook sites, you'll know that I'm sharing some of our time living in the Boise Rescue Mission. And we did that a couple years ago, the first Miller's Mission. And just watching that video and seeing the folks that are there and still there reinforces the need. I mean, it's 21 degrees out. It's cold. You know, we live in a world where we have this faux invulnerability. Many of us living paycheck to paycheck, many of us in our cars, we don't know what it's like, you know, not to be able to drive into work. We get inconvenience when our car has to go in for maintenance or something else. We get mad when we don't get what we want. We don't have that instant gratification. And then you contrast that with people that don't have anything to eat. Good people. Good people that are looking to reclaim their lives, looking to honor God and some who aren't, but they're kicking the drug habit. People that we work with, people that we live with. You know, the idea that you have people just trying to make it, whether it's in some type of hotel or what have you, and, you know, worried about they might not have enough to eat, that they're not eating. And look, maybe one day we can save the world. But to make a difference in somebody's life, and I know there are great churches that do that, but the reason why we go out there, and look, it is no sacrifice to me in comparison to the need, is to raise awareness. You know, we our goals this year are high because the need is high, and we need your turkeys. And I know it's a pain, it's a hassle, if you don't live in Canyon County, to join us at the Walmart at Garrity and Franklin, but please think about it. Keep us in your prayers. Keep them in your prayers. And those turkeys make a, pardon my French, a damn good difference in somebody's life. Just to have a warm meal, just to know that somebody cares, just to know that you're not alone, can cause people to go from the edge to come back into the light. This is the time we shine. This is the time we bring it home. This is the time we sacrifice. I'm amazed by you. Especially those folks that don't have a lot that give, God bless you. You're first in line to see St. Peter. So think about that, would you? And I'll make sure that our website's up to date on Miller's mission. And we look forward to seeing you next week, right? Let's get you home. 8:59, Glenn Beck is next. You'll probably have more on the comments of Charlie Rangel. Followed by Dave Ramsey and followed by Sean Hannity here at 580KIDO. Stay warm, keep the faith, and thanks for listening. Serving Emmett, Idaho.